Thank you. A very warm welcome to the new participant. Some of you arrived today, and we know after some adventures that you had in your trip. But finally, you arrived. So you are very, very, very welcome. So only two announcements. One is that for tomorrow morning, Mr. Nakhchivani asks you to come with the section number one and number two for tomorrow morning. Okay? Another announcement that for this cultural evening of today, and we have all this country representative, and you already are prepared your little short performance of 4 or 5 minutes. And I see that. So for this evening, we call all these countries to come here and to introduce themselves. Italy, Sweden, Malta, Turkey, Estonia, Norway, Ireland, Spain, Germany, Netherlands, Bulgaria, Russia, Austria, Australia, Sweden, France, Czech Republic, Latvia, Finland, Lithuania, United Kingdom, Luxembourg, Poland, Greece, Sicily, Canary Islands, Romania, Albania, Switzerland, Portugal, South Africa, Slovakia, Belgium. So really, you are all, we forget?
Ukraine.
What?
Ukraine.
Ooh. I forgot others. What?
Yeah.
So this evening we have a lot of interesting things to share and to know about this country through your introduction. So now we have this short result of your consultation in your seminary, and I ask for the first group of yellow with the tutor is Samira. So please welcome.
We had this task for our workshop, and it was to answer to a professor that he was saying that for him our faith is just something that it's an idea, and that our thinking is that it's not real, it's gonna be real, it's just in a fake world. And we have to answer to this professor, and we decided through our conversation to say these things. I mean, we want to explain to him that the purpose of our faith is the promote the unity of the humankind, and we can do it through many tools that we have. And one of that is the covenant, and it's an amazing tool that can keep us all together, focused to our our purpose. I mean, okay. And another tool is the administrative order. That give us the plans as we learn through the first lesson of Mr. Najamani, that we have these plans that guide us and tell us what to do or not to do and everything to get our goal. And also we have practical things that help us and that can show to other people that our faith is actually real, like education, like cooperation with the NGO, and strive, and as we see, into trying to have a universal language. So, I mean, that's where we talk for 1 hour, but I try to summarize in this way. I hope I've been clear. Oh, I'm sorry.
Thank you so much. Yeah, thank you, thank you. So the orange group.
Our friends. I'm going to first read you the quote that we got, because we all had the same situation with a different quote to refer to. R said, "Neither in theory nor in practice can the administrative order of the faith of Baha'u'llah be said to conform to any type of democratic government, to any system of autocracy, or to any purely aristocratic order." And we've created a little type of skit. So, enjoy.
Okay, my name is Professor Sam, and well, you have been away 1 week for Akuto, and you missed the school, and I don't like it, but you have learned about cycles and epochs, but you are dreaming, you're out of real world, and explain me, please, what's that?
Actually, cycles and epochs are not... Cycle and epochs are the way we view today and the past. When we look at the world, we see process of rise and fall, integration and disintegration, order and chaos. For example, in the past, the war between Germany and France in the Second World War, and now we see that both of them are in the same union. This is an example. Or for example, the scientific researches that... For example, the atomic bomb, the use and disuse of these scientific researches, or the example of tsunami. The event was so overwhelming that everybody in the world, every nation raised to...
Why not one epoch? Why so many?
Well, as we told you before, the Baha'i order is unique. And just because it's new and unique, it doesn't mean it's wrong and it's not in touch with the world. For example, the world has been governed with various different types of systems. Aristocratic systems, democratic, autocratic, and the uniqueness of the Baha'i faith is that we combine these three aspects, and this combination in a way balances out the pros and cons, and it gets rid of the negatives. And so this is the uniqueness, and this will enable us to flourish.
Thank you.
No, we're not finished. Ask about I'll say it. Okay, this is the professor saying, where is all this leading? The reason that we have so many epochs, why? What is our goal? And do we have some big goal that we're trying to reach? And okay, let me explain this analogy to you. You bring your briefcase every day to university with you, and it's a 5-key combination lock, and you have your important papers inside. Yeah. These important papers inside could be compared to the Baha'i vision and our main goal. Now you've learned the combination to open your lock. And for example, the Baha'i faith, you have 5 keys that you must do. We have these certain epochs, and we've been given the administration and the writings, for example, as a code sequence, a code to figure out the lock. So we'll read the writings and figure out the first lock, and then we'll have that done, and that will be our first epoch. And then we are ready and mature to move on to the next key. And we keep on reading and understanding, and we get further and further, and the epochs carry on. And once the epochs are finished, we finished our epochs, the code is done, and we open the briefcase, and we've achieved our goal, and you get your papers.
Thank you very much to this creative group, and we hope that the professor understood all the answer. So the white group.
Okay, so friends, we decided to do it in a welcome. Please welcome. Come on, Mr. Aydemir. But anyway, we decided to do this in a study circle way, so that we are all part of a study circle. And once again, we have the same situation with the professor asking about the cycles and epochs and ages and dispensations and cycles and all this. So our professor is going to be part of this study circle, and then we're going to answer this. But the quote we have to adopt into our answer is referring, Shoghi Effendi's answer referring to the Declaration of Trust and Bylaws of the NSA of the United States and Canada, and so it's, "You can but faintly imagine how comforting a stimulant and how helpful a guide its publication and circulation will be to those patient and toiling workers in eastern lands. You can hardly realize how substantially it would contribute to pave the way for the elaboration of the beginnings of the constitution of the worldwide Baha'i community that will form the permanent basis upon which the blessed and sanctified edifice of the First International House of Justice will securely rest and flourish." So, here we go.
Patrick. Thank you for inviting me to this study circle. And but by the way, before starting the circle, I have a question for the group, maybe, because I'm thinking, but I couldn't find the answer. I would like to know that. I have a question, especially about the Shoghi Effendi's understanding the way of history, because I don't understand why he is dividing the time into cycles and then dividing the cycles to epochs and then dividing the epochs to age and then dividing it into small little pieces. You are saying that you want to join the world together, so why you are dividing this time into small pieces? And as far as I see from this study circle, that this is something like a child play, because you are the author and then you are writing your dream, and after that you are playing it, but sorry, there isn't anyone watching it, because this is in your secure home that there isn't no one can see it. So I would be happy if you answer my question.
Mr. Professor, first of all, we would probably need to take a few steps back and look at religious history as a whole, and see that in all previous dispensations, the manifestation of God has come to bring a message to mankind for its benefit, so that it could progress and become better and better. And you can see that in essence, the manifestations have all brought a very similar message, but each time it was elaborated more, expanded, because the intellect of mankind became more ripe and they were capable of grasping more concepts and so on and so forth. So one of the many unique things about the Baha'i faith is that it now has an administrative order, meaning that it is able to rule itself. And the supreme body over this is the Universal House of Justice. And through its organization, it devises out epochs and plans and so on and so forth, and hopefully through these certain goals are achieved, goals of succession, goals of many different aspects of Baha'i life.
Then for example, when previous world the world systems, how the world works and functions, for example, communism, fascism, those sort of things, and nowadays capitalism, are trying to be kind of work in the whole world and try to make the whole work function well. But we see that the others have been come to an end, and there is lots of problems nowadays with capitalism going on, and our solution is, or all of these systems try to work out without religion, for example. So now, as Baha'is, we see that we need a system with a religion, and now we are offered a religion with a system. So in that sense, within this system
for making the system, that's why you divide, you make some plans, and for reaching these plans you divide the time.
dividing time, we work within time. We work within time, and then the plans are just for us to work systematically within the time, and like we have seen in previous religions as well, or other religions, they have some. Plans and structures that they have worked with. So, but now we have worked with this. you go with the Supreme Body. Yeah, it's in time. Okay. Okay, I guess we're out of time now. So, so thank you. Yeah.
This is why we have to open our study circle with the seekers, but it's a very a challenge. So the group blue one.
Okay. So why don't we live in a dream world? We thought of using the principles of teaching, and that is to know the person's view before you start. And we were thinking of a person that is not who's atheistic. So how do you present the plan of God to someone who does not believe in God? Well, you just start with the metaphor of nature. You plant a seed in someone, and it grows if you give them the right things. So this progressive growth, this process takes place, and you can see this in history. Like, for instance, how we talked about this morning, like space and time. In past religions, they did not have any concept about it. They just had their own space, their own time. But now we have the Baha'i faith, and we have not only a concept of time and space, we have three. And we go beyond those because we can reach the whole world. We can reach further than our own time. This is just an example. So this maturation of mankind can be seen throughout historical events. And this shows we are in adolescence. So, and what does adolescence mean? It means that you have ideas and you want to bring them into reality. So they are no longer only prophecies, they are fulfilled. And we've got the tools to fulfill them. So we are acting upon it. And while acting upon it, this will bring the goal to us. We had a quote which said, basically we also talked about how Abdu'l-Bahá laid the first cornerstone in Bilmet. And he said, while laying this stone, the actual temple has been built. So Baha'u'llah gave us the word of how we should do it, and by the idea of giving it, we already have it. Only we might not see it yet. We don't really see the temple yet if we have the first stone, but it is there. So we have all these kinds of examples that will show us this growth. Like the administrative order that really implements these changes. So we try to talk about that. And further, we trust in God for inspiration. And we invite him to investigate it more. We give him the century of light, for instance, that will bring answers but also more questions, which is good. And if the person is really against and is really close towards the Baha'i faith and to God, and if he doesn't believe that the Baha'is are really actively involved in reality, then we could say the Chinese proverb, which says, man who says it cannot be done should not interrupt man doing it. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Now the purple group.
Maybe we were more careful about the conclusions, what you said, what the previous group said, and we came to some general thoughts what we were thinking about. So we had the quotation.
As all of you in these groups have been discussing around the same the same question that were asked. During our 90 minutes, we used this question regarding the professor as the fire to start our discussion. And we divided these 90 minutes into two areas. One area where we discussed the method of how to approach different persons regarding the faith. And a second part where we discussed the different topics and different things about the faith to say and how to explain them for this particular person. Some of the things we discussed during the method part was, for instance, the background of this person. And in this example, it was a scholar or a professor, and also, for instance, the person's receptiveness of towards discussions and religion. I'm gonna hand over this to my group colleagues.
Okay, so in the second part of the discussion, which was concerning the content of what we could say relating to this question, we thought of, first of all, to introduce the person, whoever it is, to the concept of the perception of Shoghi Effendi to history, as already mentioned before in some of the presentations. So we would think that it is important for his perception of history to explain this wonderful concept which Mr. Nakhchivani introduced to us with the two lines and the dotted line. And we believe that nobody here in the world is able to deny the fact that there are these processes of disintegration and integration going on in the world. Nobody can deny that there is huge calamities going on. Nobody could deny 9/11. Nobody could deny moral decay. Nobody could deny war, whatever is going on in the world, and could see that in this process that it's going worse and worse. Nobody on the other side could deny that there's the process of integration, like we mentioned before, the UN, the European Union, any kind of unification, any kind of international affairs and communities which try to bring the world together and care about the affairs of the whole world, not only of one country.
Okay, and to build on that point, actually, in our consultation, there came the matter that when explaining this, for example, to the professor, you could say that as in a Baha'i view, we acknowledge this process, the disintegrating process. It's not that we're trying to be oblivious and just float on a cloud that is totally out of the world, but to not focus upon it, and then to focus upon the integrative process and to build upon what we have and what we're trying to achieve. And then there's an example that we came up with, that it's hard to explain to a child, for example, that's been forced into child labor, who's lost their family, telling them, it's okay, this is supposed to happen, you know, everything is good, because it's not the way it is. And so we have to recognize it, but know what, which direction we have to take.
Another point of our discussion was that there are the calamities in the world, and that people usually, when it happens something like a tsunami or some floods, or in Prague what we had, or in Germany, Dresden, and etc. Or in September 11th, they don't understand what meaning it has, and usually there are the spiritual answers for these questions of the mankind. So we were thinking we should give these spiritual answers and solution to the people, and to bring them to the faith. And now we will read.
So our quotation was, this is a question, by the way. It's a long sentence, so at the end you might not catch it. It's a question, but it's a question. Who, I may ask, when viewing the international character of the cause, its far-flung ramifications, the increasing complexity of its affairs, the diversity of its adherents, can, for a moment, question the necessity of some sort of administrative machinery that will ensure, amid the storm and stress of a struggling civilization, the unity of the faith, the preservation of its identity, and the protection of its interests? Question mark.
During the further discussions, our aim wasn't to reach the conclusions, but to perhaps come up with even more questions. We discussed this regarding to this quotation, its political aspects and the relations you can draw to political aspects and this administrative machinery that is mentioned, how we could see the administrative order as this machinery, which we can put our trust within, and I won't take up all of the points we discussed, but these were some gleanings from our 90 minutes to you.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Brava, this is Italian group. So now the group Violet, or Violet.
We never saw our professor, like all the rest. So we don't know whether the professor was really cynical about religion, or whether he was actually curious and he asked you to, yes, out of curiosity. So we don't know that. First, we thought about historic proofs, like many have done already. We saw why should it be unrealistic? Look at when discrimination between black and the white race or the abandonment of slavery was impossible to think about, yet it came about, and other historical proofs. I will go to the parts that other people didn't do yet. Look at Baha'i society today. It is unified, it's diversified, and it's progressing. So that's not unrealistic. It's realistic, and the professor can take a look at it himself if he wants to. Secondly, the views and theories of Baha'is are actually respected in progressive fields of science. It is, for many scientists, the Baha'i faith has to be seen as a modern movement which they have to take into account. And this reminded us of Mr. Nagjavani last year told us that the academics of the world will arise to defend the administrative order and the faith. And, of course, first they have to recognize and they will defend it. If this person really is just upholding a scientific belief, we can ask him, why, after 50 or maybe even 100 years of scientific idealism without religion, why have we no satisfaction today? I am quite cynical about that myself. uh, Okay. It's about the will and testament. To attempt to estimate its full value and grasp its exact significance after so short a time would be premature and presumptuous on our part. We must trust to time and the guidance of God's universal house of justice. So this is exactly why we have epochs and plans and cycles, because we have no idea, and nobody does, about what is going to be. Just like a good business is started through by a heroic age, few people having an idea, a formative age, working very hard but not making any money yet, and the golden age where they cash. The minor, the relation between the minor and the major positive lines is like the budding of a flower in a plant. At first, a plant is merely green and the growth is only vegetative, but the bud is developing, but it's not seen. And then at one point, when the flower becomes visible, it becomes the explanation for the whole plant. Really, we buy a plant for a flower. This is what we do. And also we, sorry if it takes a little bit too long, but why is it needed? Why is the Baha'i religion needed? Well, suppose we are moving to world unity, which many people, scientific people also see. It cannot happen without a cause. Everything, this is scientific belief, must have a cause. So also world unity must have a cause and an origin, which the Baha'i faith believes it offers. So we go back to the statement of the professor. You know, you are really in a dream world. You're utopian. And perhaps he is right. Perhaps we are. Perhaps I am in a dream world. Perhaps I haven't realized the balance of reason and faith. Perhaps I am relying more on faith or on faith without reason. This is just to say that we have to prove in our deeds that we combine reason and faith, and then we can help the scientific person to cross the thin ice of his science to religion. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Turquoise Group.
Okay. First of all, my admiration to the Purple Group, who divided their 90 minutes into two epochs. They were quite systematic. We even forgot our quotation, really. Okay, well, the question of epochs, is it a dream world we are building? We thought that, first of all, every calendar is based on religion, so history is relative to what we want to put as a beginning for history. And as we have a new revelation, we just say, okay, 1844 is our beginning, or the Tablets of Divine Plan is another beginning. And that's why we have these different epochs where we see that the progress which is being made, we can review what has happened, and we can also plan for the future. That's why we need this. And actually, as the Baha'i community we are, we have a very, very high goal to reach. And in order to reach a higher goal, one has to systematize, to organize, to plan. Without dividing time into certain epochs or cycles to have a specific goal on each one, we cannot possibly progress. And until now, it was the way, mostly the way that humanity raced behind history and tried to catch up with everything that happened. But now we're in the stage of maturity, so we are actually the actors. We are getting options, as we also saw in the talks, in order to choose and to see what we want to do. That's why systematic planning is also really needed. Then we also realize that we have very little knowledge of the events that occurred in order for Shoghi Effendi or the Universal House of Justice to say, okay, this epoch was ended then, and it started because of that, the new epoch started. So actually we are very eager to see what we will learn during this week, in order to be able to also base this on facts when we are talking to professors or so, to also say, okay, we have epochs not just like this, but something happened in order for us to define this as an epoch. And at last we came up with this, I thought this was a wonderful idea of really putting this into a frame of time. What has happened is only 150 years have passed from the time that Baha'u'llah brought his revelation to us. Putting this into the framework of the Adamic cycle and so on, we get a view of, wow, what is 150 years? Nothing. And what has happened till then, from then on? I mean, really saying some events, if we have studied the century of light or so, we can really also have arguments that are really powerful, because the century of light shows us this realistic world, the professor means, the one we live in, and parallel to this, the Baha'i world and the progress it's making. So this makes sense. It's nothing just thought of or so. It really works together. That's why we have also this time framework. Yeah, and we finished off with this very nice and wonderful movie, The Lord of the Rings, because we loved the idea that the two ring bearers actually were so in this obscurity, no one knew about them, they were plunging in the mud and everything. They had this creature telling them bad things, or sometimes being with them and helping them, and sometimes putting them traps. That's the covenant breakers. And the other big things, the wars and stuff and beasts and so on, they were just actually fake, because there was nothing behind that. The ring was somewhere completely different. And yeah, we like that picture. So one can also tell people, I mean, I told a professor of mine that, and he was like, oh yeah, you're right. So try it.
Thank you. Now the pink group.
My English is not very good, so I will be very schematic. So after reading the task, we consulting about how manage a situation like this. And first of all, we decide to pray, because it's not an easy things to do, to spoke in front of many people, academic people. So to pray and pray God for become really an instrument, an humble instrument. And then the second step is to getting very familiar with the vision of the Shoghi Effendi had of the future and the past. Third step is to prepare a speech, starting by the progressive revelation in order to create a very concrete, a concrete speech, because the task was the professor talks about the we Baha'is, are, the Baha'i world are so, I don't know, where's the topic? Yeah, Baha'i appear to be living in their own dream world, and so to make the speech concrete as much as possible, because there's not dreaming, yeah, very realistic facts. So progressive relation to arrive at the concept of unity, and connect it to the two processes of major and minor plan, okay, and trying to give astrological fact to make it concrete as much as possible. And we said all these things, and then we read the quote, and the quote is like, this newborn administrative order incorporates within its structure certain elements which are to be found in each of the three recognized forms of secular government, without being in any sense of mere replica of any one of them. It blends and harmonizes as no government fascinated by mortal ends has as yet accomplished. The salutary truth which each of these systems undoubtedly contains without vitiating the integrity of God-given verities. So after the quotes, we're consulting about, we refer to a topic that we remember from last year, the Mr. Nakhchavani speaks, about the three recognized forms of secular government, and we talk about the these three recognized forms are autocracy, democracy, aristocracy, and all the good things of these three elements that compare in the Baha'i New World Order are that autocracy, because it refers to the guardianship, but then with the death of Shoghi Effendi, the guardianship, the autocracy, the inside the world order Baha'i fade out. Instead of the real world, it's not like this. Aristocracy refers to the hands of cause that then fade out, also like the autocracy. And the I don't want to say this, but in English I can say it. Okay. Democracy, it refers to the House of Justice. The different to the democracy in this world and the new world, and the democracy in the new world, in the new order of Baha'u'llah, is that the democracy of the House of Justice, they are responsible only to God and to the writings, and to the holy writings, instead of the democracy, if we all knew that refers to they are responsible of the for the electors. Okay, so I don't know if I say all. If I don't say all, please something, someone of the pink workshop. Okay, thank you.
Thank you so much. The last group is green one.
Hi. As I'm going last, I just want to thank everyone, because I thought everyone's ideas were really great, and I just want to share with everyone the results and conclusions of the consultation of the Green Group. We decided that what we must do ultimately is share with this professor our spiritual concepts related to his question. And the primary concept here, has already been spoken of, is the covenant. So we would say to this professor that Baha'is believe in God, and that we believe he is the source of everything. And our concept of God is of him as an unknowable essence, because this will show to him that it is not an illogical faith which claims to understand God. Then we would say, like, what Baha'is believe about how humanity was created. We don't know, like, the details of it, but what Baha'u'llah tells us is that, from the hidden words, he tells us, O son of man, I love thy creation, therefore I created thee. Wherefore dost thou love me that I may name thy name and fill thy soul with the spirit of life? What this means to Baha'is is that God loves us, and he is going to help us in our lives. And the way he's going to do this, well, because he loves us, he will always protect us. He will never quite leave us alone in the universe he will always send us guidance. Having created us out of his love for us, he wants us to love him back, ultimately, is what he's saying in this quotation. So he sends his manifestations to us. He has made a covenant with us, and in this covenant we both have responsibilities, the humanity and God. However, God's responsibility is always fulfilled. He will always send his messengers. Our responsibility is to recognize these messengers. These messengers that I'm speaking of are, for example, Christ and Buddha, Moses, Abraham, Krishna. These are the manifestations of God for Baha'is, and we accept them as manifestations of God. But in our day, we believe in the Bab and Baha'u'llah as the manifestations of God. So these, the manifestations of God before Baha'u'llah and the Bab were part of what Baha'is believe is the Adamic cycle. And each one, like Christ, I just named, they all represent dispensations within that cycle. With the coming of Baha'u'llah, we've entered a new cycle. In this new cycle, it's the era of fulfillment for us. It's a great time to be alive. It's a great time to recognize him. He has said that this is the day in which God's most mighty grace has been poured out upon man. This is the day in which God's most mighty grace has been infused into all created things. The day in which his most mighty grace, most excellent favors, has been poured out upon man. So what we're saying is that this is the era of fulfillment, when all those prophecies of the past dispensations, which were related to the time which will come when humanity will live together in peace and harmony, that this is the day when this can happen. And within this, then, within the Baha'i dispensation, there are the other concepts of epochs. And the epochs were... at first, the epochs were designated by Shoghi Effendi, the guardian of the Baha'i faith. And then this brings me on to the quotation we were given to help us with a consultation. I'll just read it out to you. The fact that Shoghi Effendi did not leave a will cannot be adduced as evidence of his failure to obey Baha'u'llah. Rather, we should acknowledge that in his very silence there is a wisdom and a sign of his infallible guidance. And like our consultation on this came to the conclusion that take this instance as an example. This is possibly, you know, one instance when we would have had most doubt in God's covenant had we not been faithful and steadfast to it. This is the time when it seems like his guidance has let us down, but that is before we look for the signs of his wisdom and his infallible guidance. If we look a little bit closer, we see that, in fact, you know, we might be asking questions like, why didn't Shoghi Effendi, even if he wasn't going to appoint a successor, why didn't he tell us this? Why didn't he say that we should elect the Universal House of Justice? Or why didn't he write a will in any case? Because Baha'u'llah has asked all Baha'is, not just the Guardian, to write a will. And if we look a bit closer then, we see that, well, maybe the Guardian did write a will. Like last year, Mr. Nakhchivani told us that his dispensation of Baha'u'llah in the world order of Baha'u'llah can be regarded as his sort of will and his testimony to the central figures of the faith. And Shoghi Effendi himself has said that in that book he has said all that he wanted to say and all that he could say in the best way that he could say it about the central figures. And why didn't he talk about the covenant? It was maybe because there were no Afnan at the time that he could have appointed. He didn't have any children. All the other Afnan were covenant breakers, so there was no one that he could possibly have chosen, like if he was to be true to Abdu'l-Baha's will and testament. And he also couldn't have appointed anyone in his will if he had not consulted with the hands of the cause before he died. So that's just the example. Then to bring that back to the eras, ages, dispensations, we just believe that the Guardian had that guidance, and if we look for signs of it, we'll easily find that he had all the guidance to designate certain events as the beginning of one epoch and the end of another.
Thank you very much. Really, you are fantastic because you finished just on time. So you are so well organized that you know, all these nine groups has really special space. And I want to share my feeling that I want to appreciate your courage, because it's not easy to speak about this kind of subject in front of Mr. Ali Nakhchivani. So really, thank you very much for your courage.
Because she was talking about these reports, because they were so special and everyone shared different views on these tasks of the professor, we thought that if every person that reported every day could give their reports to the facilitators, at the end of the week, every facilitator will have 6 reports, then they can give it to the organizing committee. We will put it, we will type it down and share it with everyone by email so that they can have all these suggestions and ideas when they go in their home country.